go into your word. Father, we pray that you read on your word in Jesus' name. And you will visit us in a very special way in the name of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. First, I will thank our fathers for the opportunity given to me to share with us this morning. This morning, the title of the message is Climbing the Ladder of Spiritual Progress. Climbing the Ladder of Spiritual Progress. Our text is Matthew chapter 4. I'll read from verse 12. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 25. Matthew chapter 4, verse 12 to 25. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them, and they immediately left the sheep and their father and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torment, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, and from Decapolis, and from Jerusalem, and from Judea, and from beyond Jordan. Before I delve into this passage, let's also read Genesis chapter 22 to lay some foundation for our discussion on that passage. So Genesis chapter 25. Okay. Yeah, from verse 22, or maybe 21. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife, because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the brother. And when our days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like an airy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Esau was 80 years old when she bare them. So in this passage, to lay foundation for our discussion, is a familiar passage, and there was this, there was an inquiry by Rebecca. And God revealed that it's the elder that will serve the younger. And now, in the birth procedure, we read that the hand of Jacob held the leg of Esau, the heels, held it. And I'm wondering why. And then we also read that they were struggling together. And what I want to call attention to is that, is it that Jacob wanted to come out first? And if we follow that line of thought, and I ask her, if Jacob had come out first, what would have happened to the prophecy upon his life? Have you thought about it? Do you think that prophecy will have still come to pass? Yes or no? You say yes. The prophecy said the elder shall serve the younger. So what was pushing Jacob even at that stage of his life? Because if it was that the push was for him to come out first, he wasn't consistent with the prophecy over his life. And if that push has succeeded to make him pull Esau and then he has his way, he would have lost the prophecy over his life. So at that stage, the journey of destiny has begun. Even when the so-called baby was not aware of what was going on, some forces were at play. Praise the Lord. So in the pursuit of destiny, there are some important things that we must be aware of. So that's the first thing. You see, as we grow, most of the time, we think it's only when we are of accountability age. That's when destiny starts. That's when you start to ask your children, what do you want to do for life? What do you want to do as career? But now you understand that the journeys are started far, far, far before most people realize. Praise the Lord. But it was also good. So that's number one that you should note. In the pursuit of destiny, spirituality is sacrosanct. Praise the Lord. The second one is, look at the role Rebecca played. How many people have information about the destiny of their children as at that stage of pregnancy? And you see, the information did not just come. She inquired. And she followed Jacob until she saw that that thing was fulfilled. And that's the second point, because I don't want to take much time. So, in the journey or pursuit of destiny, you need people like that. You understand? Sometimes they call them mentor, but I don't know what to call the baker. In this case, immediately, so she initially inquired when she knew the details. She never trivialized the detail. She pursued it. She was the one that said, at another time, I heard that your father was to release the blessing. I hope you know. Jacob did not know. Is it not wonderful to have such people in your life? They know where you should go. And they monitor it. She was the one that heard. And when she heard, she was the one that planned everything. The other example I have, and as I was reading it, okay, the second one is about the mother of Moses. Again, if she did not play the role she played, you see, they said they got married, but they started to tell us that it was the mother that hid Moses. I hope you know. He was the mother. They started talking only about the mother. And when it was difficult again, it was the mother that arranged where Moses should be kept and arranged who should be monitoring him. You see, in the pursuit of what we become in life, we need people like that. The other example, incidentally, is a man, so it's balanced. The other example is Eli. And you see, God was calling Samuel. He was having direct access to God. But if Eli did not play that role, at least at that moment, it was Eli that helped. Eli said, okay, next time you hear that kind of sound, say this. And immediately he said it, then the messages continue. But all along, the message never went on because he never knew what to do. Praise the Lord. So those two things, spirituality and then, let me call it mentorship, having such people in our life is very, very important in what we turn out to be in life. Now let's go back, so we understand this. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. With this, I want to try to help us understand the ministry of our Lord. So in Matthew chapter 4, the passage we read, because of time now, this is like the very time the Lord like launched out his ministry. And in launching now, I want us to notice two things so that we'll follow it very well. The first thing is, they said immediately he heard that John was cast into prison, he went to Galilee. But ultimately, where he went to, if you read down, is he went to Capernaum. Capernaum. And again, when he got to Capernaum and he was to start, they said he went to the seaside. And what did he go there to do? He had been preaching and he had disciples. But now he wanted disciples that will work closely with him. So he was to go and select disciples that will work closely with him. And then he now decided to go to the seaside and he was looking for fishermen. Then you imagine, Jesus had been to Judea, Jesus had been to Jerusalem, Jesus had been to big, big cities. And you start to wonder, to start this big ministry, then you go and you are looking for fishermen. And these fishermen, Peter, James, John, they are in Acts, we were told that they were ignorant men. That's still several years. They were ignorant men. They were unlearned men. Praise the Lord. And those were the people Jesus went to select to start his ministry. Ignorant, unlearned men. And at the end of the day, you see, if you are reading in Galatians, they are also the ones that are called the pillars. I hope you know that in Galatians, the pillars, and they form like one third of the disciples, the people he called the apostles. It is not that Jesus cannot use learned men, but you see, to understand the signature of his ministry, the potential of his anointing for transformation. If I say I can transform people, but I start with learned men, it won't show the potency of my anointing. You understand? So, the act that he did at the beginning is to show that when you come to me, I have spiritual capacity. And I like it. You see, there are two dimensions. The second dimension is, now let's read verse 13. It says, and leaving Nazareth, he came and dwell in Capernaum. So maybe verse 15. Okay, verse 16. They are now describing Capernaum. They said, the people which sat in darkness saw great light. To them which sat in region and shadow of death, light is stronger. That's the second dimension to it. Where did he go? He went to where there is darkness. So he actually went to where, when he performed whatever he needed to perform and does his ministry, you will understand what the anointing he carries is capable of. I hope you understand. So, he did not start where there is light. He went where there is darkness. And to show that his capability is not just in spiritual, moral, he even picked unlearned and ignorant men. So, his spread of capacity is towards any of those extremes. Praise the Lord. So, I want us to understand this thing very well. You see, that's why we started with mentorship. So, when Jesus started his ministry, he showed clearly that if you are with me, your destiny is secure. You can be something. Praise the Lord. But you see, again, when we read after maybe verse 23, then he said he was preaching in Galilee, he was teaching, and then verse 24, that his fame went throughout all Syria. But verse 25, and then they said, great multitude of people started to follow the Lord. So in his business of ministry, at the end of the day, two groups are always associated with the Lord throughout his ministry. Two groups. And then let's look at the two. So the first group, if you now read in chapter 5 of Matthew, the Bible talks about the second group. It said the two groups. And seeing the multitude, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came to him. So those are the two groups, the multitude and disciples, throughout his ministry. So let's briefly look at the two of them, the multitude and the disciples. I want us to look at them because it will help us in our discourse. The first point that I wanted to see, he preached repentance and forgiveness of sin to the multitude, but he taught his disciples. There were two groups that he was maintaining, but he was dealing with them very differently. So to the multitude, he was preaching repentance. He was preaching forgiveness. But when it comes to the disciples, he was teaching them. For example, let's look at Luke chapter 6, verse 16. Luke chapter 6, verse 16. Okay, sorry, verse 19, 6, 19. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now verse 20. And he lifted up his eyes on his disciples. So the multitude were there, but he turned away from them and he was teaching his disciples. It's the same thing that you find in Matthew chapter 5. It said the multitude were there and then he taught his disciples. Number two, even if there was any record that he taught the multitude, he was teaching them using parables and cryptic languages. But he spoke plainly to the disciples. In fact, the Bible records that he said, it has been given unto the disciples to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but not unto the multitude. Praise the Lord. Number three, there wasn't any problem performing miracles, performing signs and wonders on the multitude. But beyond that, for the disciples, let's see in Mark chapter 3, verse 13, he gave them power. So the disciples are not just to benefit, but they can generate the miracles, they can generate the signs, they can generate the wonders. So Mark chapter 3, and he goes into a mountain and called unto him whom he would, and they came unto him. Verse 14. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now, number four. Now, the multitudes are committed to Christ out of benefit and convenience, but the disciples actually sacrifice everything in order to be with Christ because of time. And then maybe we read this one, Matthew chapter 8, verse 18. He actually stayed with the disciples. So many times after the ministration, the Bible will say he sent the multitude away. And then he himself will go with the disciples. So there were those two groups of people. So Jesus was not in any way like relying on the multitude. The people he was relying on, they were the disciples. And then that's why he was giving them all those deep, deep teaching. Now, having understand these differences, so you see, why is it that you have multitude following him, but they were not able to cross over from that group to the next group? They keep following him. So they were also followers of Jesus because they were also following him. But there were two categories of followers. And that's why the topic says climbing the ladder
or spiritual progress. They were following Christ, but they could not climb to the next step.
Praise the Lord. So let's look at Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14. This is what, and you see, in a typical assembly like this also, you have two categories. Now you see what he brought up, that a lot are struggling with at this time. And even at this time also, if you don't cross this barrier, you'll be in that other category. Praise the Lord. So in Luke chapter 14, verse 25, Luke chapter 14, verse 25. And there went great multitude. So you see, it's a consistent thing. And it's unfortunate that a lot followed the Lord. And it wasn't also a problem for the Lord when he fed the 5,000 and all those things. For him, it wasn't a problem doing miracles. So having miracles, having provisions, having all of those things, it's not a problem for the Lord. And so that will not be like a criteria for you to say you are climbing the ladder with the Lord. He does it freely. Praise the Lord. So, and there went great multitude with him, and he turned. So this is what is the problem. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters and even his own life also. I want us to read what is next together. One, two, go. Okay, we'll read it again. One, two, go. You see, it's as simple as that. So what is that thing you must cross, you must fulfill for you to leave the multitude and then you join to the next stage? So Jesus said, and it's a difficult thing. He said, if you do not hate your father, hate your mother, your wife, your children, your brethren, your sister. In fact, he said, even your own very life. That's the criteria. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew chapter 10, verse 37. Matthew 10, 37. Okay. Now, so that you understand better, he said, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. So when you saw, so you have to compare scripture. If you don't hate, no. If you love Father more than Jesus, if you love, and the issue is this, so that we understand better. What he wants to do, you know, when he got to Peter, James, and John, he said, I want to make you something. I want to make you into something. And if it's like a potter want to make a pot, and if the clay does not give the potter full control, will he be able to achieve his aim? Do you understand? If the clay has an opinion about what it wants to turn into, contrary to what the potter wants to do, what will happen? There won't be progress. So that's what people struggle with. So in whatever he wants to do, he wants to have the full control. So he said,
I don't need the opinion of your dad. I don't need the opinion of your mom. I don't need the opinion of your wife. I don't need the opinion of anybody. That's the only way by which I will be able to take you and make you into what I have in mind. And many times when he says this, they say, the people following him, the multitude, and then they will say, this is too hard. Then they put reverse gear, they go back. It's as simple as that. If you understand what it means to climb the ladder with Jesus, that's the criteria. He wants to be the one to say, this is what you should wear, and this is what you should not wear. If you argue, you see, what will happen if you argue? You are seeing that class. If you cannot have a say over your time, over your resources, over, in fact, you know, he said, even over your life. If you do not love me more than your life. Because of time, I want to give us some example. Okay, I will not use this example. The Bible also spoke about him himself, about Jesus. The Bible says he was obedient even unto death. So he's not asking for what he did not do. Eh? And before that, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. No, he did not say low. You know, there's a difference between low reputation and no reputation. So that you understand this demand. And then the Bible now says, because he fulfilled that criteria, that the Lord God exalted, gave him a name, and exalted. You see, you cannot climb the ladder if you don't give yourself 100%. If you must still have opinion about your life, especially against his opinion, you will not climb. So let's quickly think about maybe two people. Abraham, God told him, I can't read passages now. God told him, leave your place, Abi, and leave your kindred. But at the end of the day, Abraham left with his kindred. I hope you know that. And the Bible later said, when Lot left, and that's when God came back and started to tell him about what, maybe we should read this, what he planned for him. In Genesis, maybe chapter 12 now. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 to 4. Okay, now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And maybe let's now read Genesis chapter 13, verse 14. 13, 14. And the Lord said unto Abraham, now be very careful, after that Lot was separated from him. Based on the initial instruction, leave your country, leave your kindred, and then go to the land. But there was no progress. He did not progress spiritually with him until he fully obeyed him. Praise the Lord. The second one, we are familiar with it because of time, is the issue of the Israelites. So God said, send spies. And then they sent spies. And they brought bad news. So when they brought bad news, and it's also good, let's read it. When they brought bad news, God became angry in Numbers chapter 13,
Numbers chapter 13, the first three verses. Numbers chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Of every tribe of their father shall ye send a man. We are familiar with the story. Now let's see in verse 25. So they sent the spies. He said, and the spies, they returned from searching of the land after 40 days. Let's continue. 26. And they went and came to Moses and to Aaron and to all the congregation of the children of Israel unto the wilderness of Paran to Kadesh, and brought back word unto them and unto all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Verse 27. And they told him and said, We came unto the land whither thou sentest us, and surely it floweth with milk and honey, and this is the fruit of it. And nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the city are walled and very great, and moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. 29. And the Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites. The next one. But the men that went up with him said, We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we. Verse 32. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel, saying, The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof, and all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature. And there we saw the giant, the son of Anak, which come of the giants, and were in our own sight as grasshopper, and so we were in their sight. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto him, Will God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or will God we had died in this wilderness? And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return unto Egypt? And they said to one another, Let us make a captain and let us return into Egypt. And Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel, and Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes, and they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, The land which we passed through to search, it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are the bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. But all the congregation bade stone them with stones. Now this is where I'm looking for. In the midst of that, God was listening. And God was separating the disciples from the multitude. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. And the Lord said unto Moses, How long will these people provoke me? How long will it be they believe me for all the signs which I have showed among them? I will smite them with pestilence and disinherit them, and I will make of thee a greater nation and mightier than they. And Moses said unto the Lord, Then the Egyptians shall hear it. The next verse, because of time. The next verse. Okay, let's see 19. Just want to pick. Okay, 20. Now look at 20. And the Lord said, No, let's. I have pardoned according to thy word. But, verse 21, but as truly as I live, all the hearts must be filled with my glory. Verse 22. Because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, have tempted me now these 10 times and have not acted to my voice. Surely they shall not see the land. You know, what did he say? I have pardoned them. But he said, they will not see the land, which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. The next verse. Praise the Lord. So anyway, we understand. At the end of the day, God, you see, we always talk about this merry-go-rounding that they did. After this, God delayed the journey of the Israelites for 40 years. If you read further, he said that they went to search the land for 40 days. So their punishment will be 1 day. 1 day will be 1 year. After this, what he did is he made them to just be going round in circle until all the people died. That's what he did. And the day the last person died, in Deuteronomy, that's when you read that the Lord now said that it is enough. That you have been going around this thing, it's ahead. That now, let's move. So it didn't look as if there was no problem. But he was waiting for 40 years to do away with them. So I need to go to this illustration so that you understand the cost. That's why you have more on the multitude side. You see, it's the same thing. Only two people allowed the Lord 100%. Only two. I hope you know. So when you remove two from 1 million, so what do you call the 1 million? Multitude. So you always see these two groups associated with the Lord. And finding it difficult to pay the costs. So this morning, because of time, the business of Jesus is to take a nobody and make them somebody. In either extremes of unlearned or of spiritual darkness, and turn them to somebody. But the challenge is the criteria, the cutoff mark is that you must allow him full control. So that's why he said, okay, remember the same thing was done to, another thing was done to Abraham. You see, that's the way he does. So he woke him one day. He said, pick your son. You see? Pick your son and go and sacrifice him. And like we read, the man left without telling the wife, have you? Because he loved the Lord more. You see? So these are the price that people pay for allowing God to have full. So when God discovered that, if I say, Abraham, do this, he won't argue. If the wife has contrary view, he will prefer to do away with the contrary view of the wife. And then say, okay. Again, immediately God saw that. Then he said, then he now came back with his promise. There is progress. He came out with the progress. So this morning, we need to understand this.
Many will ignorantly stay perpetually in the multitude side because miracles are performed on them. Signs are performed on them. Wonders are performed on them. They have miraculous provisions. Jesus fed the 5,000. But that's still at the base level. There is the higher level where you yourself will be empowered to perform the miracle. You'll be given access to the mysteries of the kingdom. So I want us to close our eyes because time is up. Close our eyes this morning. And think about your progress spiritually. You will understand it now. I'm being practical with you. He has interest in everything. If all you do, they are determined by you. He cannot tell you what to wear, what not to wear, where to go, where not to go, how to use your time, how not to use your time, how to use your money, how not to use. If he cannot, you will just be among the multitude. If he does not have full control, you will not be able to follow him. So I want you to think if today you want to change location and you want to progress with him, you want to climb the ladder of spiritual progress. You want to change from consumer, spiritual consumer, to spiritual producers.
Oh Lord, have I heard your voice and it all my today. But I long to rise in the...
I want us to stand on our feet as we sing that song. Let us stand on our feet, please. Let's do this again. Us to consider ourselves and our lives. It is very easy, very convenient to stay with a multitude. Because in the midst of the multitude, we can feel, have a sense of belonging, a false security, the feeling that you are not alone, the feeling that many of you are there. But then, in the midst of the multitude, that's not where God wants us to be. Like we just been told, he will always turn the multitude away, but he will stay with the disciples. This morning, what do you need to give? And what must give way in your life, in my life, that will move away from being part of the multitude and being one of the disciples? The major challenge of the church today is that we are gathering the multitude and we are having less of disciples. I ask you a question this morning. Are you one of the multitude or one of the disciples? The multitude want to do it the way they like it. The multitude don't want to be controlled. They want to be free. Free to act the way they want. Free to talk the way they want. Free to go to wherever they want. Free to dress the way they want. But the disciples, they follow regiments. They follow principles of the Lord. They follow the footsteps of the law. And that is why at the end of the day, they said they were just like him. That's one way they got to Antioch. They saw them and they said they were like Christ because they started following the principle. Those who are not said of the multitude today, what can people say about you? That you are just a Christian. You carry your, so if you don't carry your Bible, you cannot say you know you are a Christian. You need to tell people you are born again, but people can know that you are a child of God. If that is still your case, you are part of the multitude. This morning, the Lord is giving us a call for higher calling to step out of the multitude and come and be part of the disciples. The multitudes might be many, but disciples might be few. But so, among those few disciples, those disciples that changed the whole world and turned the whole world upside down, just the disciples, not the multitude. This morning, are you a change maker? Are you a change agent? Only the disciples can be change agents. The multitude will be part of the number. They are noise makers. Are you a change agent or are you a noise maker? The multitude will make the noise, but only the disciples will bring about a change. Can you speak unto the Lord this morning on your own? Lord, every characteristic of the multitude which have imbibed, every attitude of the multitude which have imbibed, every convenience of the multitude that I've been enjoying, this morning help me, O Lord God, and let me move out of the multitude and cause me to come and be one of the disciples and stand as one of the disciples. Can you speak unto yourself this morning? Speak unto the Lord. Speak about yourself unto the Lord. Speak, it's an individual thing. Speak about yourself unto the Lord that this morning, help me, help me. See, when they are talking to some people and they say, ah, they are too hard, they are too tough, it's because they want to enjoy being the multitude. They enjoy the company of the multitude. But you need to step out if you want to be a disciple. Ask God this morning, God help me to be a disciple, not just to be part of the multitude. What God can't so much, what matters to God are the disciples, not the multitude. You can imagine how many people perish in the wilderness. Only two were preserved. If number was important to God, he wouldn't have closed his eyes and let those people die. Do you think God is stupid? He knows what he wants. If it was a game of number that God was playing, he would have kept those people, would have managed them, he would have pampered them, he would have accommodated them, he would have indulged them. But no, God is not interested in number. He's interested in disciples. He's interested in those who follow. Can you ask this morning? Don't let me be shifted away. No, there are many will be shifted. When we get to heaven, there will be a shaking. There will be a shifting. Who speak to God this morning? I don't want to be one of those who will be shaking and be put away. Who will be put aside. But I want to be among those people who will actually be counted as those who are on the side of the Lord. This morning, who is on the side of the Lord? Just like Joshua asked, are you on the side of the Lord this morning or you're on the side of the multitude? It's a time for self-introspection. It's a personal question which you need to ask yourself. Maskatali Baba, pray about yourself this morning. Pray for your life. Pray for your life. Pray for yourself. Maska papa. Ranta tata le babas. Praka kaka se papa shepoligo. Robobo shepoligo se poliba. Raanda kuske popos ke poliba. Yerima maska papa. Pruk poshepuko se pruko. Pruba papa ka papa ka papa. Pruba baka papa. Pruba papa papa. Pruka kaka kaka sa papa papa. Pruba papa papa. Baka sapa popo se poche pour close to di nera to di lo tro mi nera nera to di
nera to di nera to di lo
our Lord and our God, this morning we come to you with a repentant heart. We have been comfortable among the multitudes. That is why we talk anyhow. That is why we behave anyhow. That is why we dress anyhow. That is why we do not want to be controlled. That is why we want to enjoy our own freedom and liberty. That is why we don't want to follow your principles and precepts. That is why we want to be a law unto ourselves. But this morning, Lord, may you help us. Lord, may you help us to follow discipline. Not to talk anyhow, not to dress anyhow, not to behave anyhow, not to do what pleases us, but to do that which pleases you, Lord. Heavenly Father, give us a repentant heart, a contrite spirit. Lord, the spirit of obedience. Not to follow the multitude, but to follow the precept and principle of discipleship. May you help us, O Lord God, in the mighty name of Jesus. We pray for our servant that you have helped use for us this morning. Lord, may this message not witness against him also in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, in this ministry, may you give us more of the disciples and less of the multitudes. In the mighty name of Jesus, the disciple that will stand by you, that will follow your way, that will turn things upside down for the Lord, that will make impact in the world, in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we step out of this auditorium today, may we have consciousness one by one that we should be disciples and not part of the multitude. Thank you, Lord our God. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' name we have prayed.